No, that's all good. That's awesome. Thanks, buddy. Pretty cool. Thanks for sharing your testimonies, guys. That was neat that you even thought to ask. There's something about communing with Him and keeping it simple. Even the trouble sleeping at night, when the Lord puts that on my heart in a service, did you notice last night that it had nothing to do when we prayed? I wasn't even sure where we were heading or what we were doing, and it had nothing to do with me, gifting, anointing. It just had to do with simple truth and everybody stepping out in it. Did you notice that? It was so simple. It wasn't about the guest speaker. It was about the finished work. And it just, everybody was involved. Everybody could participate. Wasn't that cool? Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, if you're nervous, then I definitely want you on my team. Because if you're nervous, you're not going to be overconfident or self-confident or getting into works. If you're nervous, it's actually, that's actually okay. And I think sometimes we don't think that's okay. And I think that's okay. And I think in the future, if we're like walking across a parking lot or we're at work and we see somebody hurting or hear somebody talking about something, your first impression is, you know, I could pray for them and you probably could get nervous and think, oh, I don't know. And you come up with three reasons why maybe you shouldn't. But you probably should. Just walk over there and say, hey, because the worst they could probably do, now I know they could pull out a 9mm and shoot you maybe, but probably the worst they could do is say no thank you. Or get mean and say, leave me alone. That's probably the worst they'll do. I doubt they'll shoot you. But if they do, you're covered. No, really. Don't we get in the way a lot of times? We have fun at Power and Love. We say, you know, you ought to be a Christian Nike commercial and just do it. Because you have all these reasons why maybe you can't, and we complicate things that are called to be simple. So last night we talked about some people's bodies didn't feel completely well or changed at all. I said, go home. Man, don't turn this into a point in time. Commune with Him. You know, and we're the ones that draw limits on that kind of lifestyle. We say, well, how long am I supposed to? Well, don't turn it into a method. I've counseled people and they say, brother, I've tried that. Well, that's the giveaway right there. You're not trying that. It's, you know, it's not a grab bag. It's not abracadabra. His name is not synonymous to abracadabra. Faith is a life we live. It's a truth we live by. He's for us. He's not against us. Hallelujah. So this sleeping thing at night, how many people do you know? I mean, it might be in the room now. You take sleep aid to sleep at night, or you can't sleep without taking sleep aid, or you just don't sleep well at night. Is there anybody in the room that could say that that would be my life? We do this a lot of times on a Friday night. And I'm just telling you, in all honesty, sometimes the Lord really puts on my heart to do this. I've been in very large settings. I was in a setting where 60 people were on depression medicines because there was a lot of people in the room. And the pastor, most of them were from his congregation. And so he did a survey. He wanted to really check up on this. He contacted me less than a month after that night. And everybody he knew of that stood up was off of their medicines. But it wasn't because we prayed. We didn't even pray. See, we make everything a prayer issue. And it's almost always a truth issue. It's communion and fellowship with God. We just make everything prayer. When we talk about you can't sleep at night and you're on pain medicines, here's how the Lord told me to minister a long time ago. I'm not kidding you. When He tells me to talk about it and do it, I literally see 100% result. 100. Literally. People that can't sleep at night. I looked into it. The most intense prescription drugs they give you that are prescribed for sleep stuff, even if you cold turkey it, there's no side effects. Like, I never tell people to stop their medicines. That's not cool. I don't say, well, don't take your medicine. If you're in faith, stop your medicine. Don't take your insulin. I don't do that. But with sleep stuff, I tell you not to take it when you go to bed at night. No matter what you're doing, just don't take it, because the only side effect is in the natural, you just won't sleep. But put it aside and talk to Him. I'm telling you, we're good at asking for prayer. We haven't been the best at talking to Him. Yes. Come on, be real with me. Amen. We've been real good at asking for prayer and receiving prayer. I don't think we've been real good at walking through the house and just stopping and saying, Father, I just thank You for loving me so much that You would send Your Son. Holy Spirit, I am so excited that You live inside of me. I'm not sure we've been the best at that. I think we've been good at asking for prayer. I don't think we've been the greatest at communing with the Lord and receiving His love and talking to Him when nobody's around. And the reason is a lot of people don't see themselves the way He sees them. So they don't actually have a value for themselves the way God values you. Like, He believes you're worth the death of His Son, and I don't know if we're telling each other that stuff. I think sometimes we think it's proud and high-minded. Are you kidding me? Jesus thinks that dying on the cross is worth you coming alive in Him.
Hallelujah.
That doesn't sound like a loser to me. That sounds like purpose and potential.
Yes.
Yeah? It's the good news. It's the good news. It's good tidings of great joy. Well, if you look at the average countenance of the average church-attending Christian, there's not a lot of great joy because life's speaking way louder than truth. So we probably ought to get some truth on the scene. Good tidings of great joy. Look, nobody loves God first. You see, He first loved you. And if the only thing we do is say, well, Jesus died on the cross, or God sent His Son because He loves you, we get the technical truth of that, but it's not an eye-opening revelation that has transformed our lives, because we say, well, why would He love me like that? Well, why does He want to forgive me? Well, I just don't see why He would do that. Who's ever thought that growing up? You heard the cross and you thought, why would He do that for me? And we say, well, because He loves you. Why? And if you have that question, you're not seeing the answer. Yeah? Nobody ever told me in my life what the Holy Spirit showed me through the Word of God. Nobody ever made the gospel plain in my whole life. They always just told me I sinned, I needed forgiven, He died on a cross to pay the price to forgive my sin, He put His blood in heaven on the mercy seat so that I could be forgiven and I could go to heaven. That's all anybody ever told me in my whole life. Nobody ever told me that He was redeeming my purpose, my potential, my destiny, that He was taking the lie off of me to put the truth on me, that He was going to come and live inside of me because He wanted to live through me. Nobody ever told me the good news. In fact, they told me I'm still going to mess up. I'm still going to live the same. I'm still going to live, but be glad that He forgives and He's a loving and forgiving God. And no matter how much you sin, He'll always forgive you. So no matter how much you fall, just keep getting up because He loves you. That's what I was told my whole life. Has anybody else had that idea growing up? Or am I the only one? You see, the reason I'm half a madman, it's because it's good tidings of great joy. Yay. Let me get back to this because I skipped a beat. I'm back here with the people that couldn't sleep at night. No, I know where we're at. Holy Spirit won't let me get lost. He's not lost. I didn't even have to ask that time. This morning I was lost. Did you see me hesitate? I was like, where are we? How'd we get here? Where'd we come from? It was this strange, lost feeling that came over me. As soon as I said it, I was right back to where we were. It was amazing. I was like, oh my. It was like I clicked my heels. There's no place like home. It was so fun. Forgive me. If you weren't here, just forgive us. We're having a morning moment right now. I'm just making sure nobody falls asleep. You just ate. I'm like, if you start sleeping on me, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to believe God gives me your name. And I'm going to call it out and say, I hope you're praying. I'm going to do that. Don't try me. Don't you tempt the Lord. He just might give me your name. So if you have been struggling sleeping, here's what I want you to do tonight. I've seen 100% results in a lot of settings. 100. This one lady, she cried. She was in Texas. It's going to make me cry. Because people suffer. When they can't sleep, you pay a price. When you have a real, real issue, it affects your world. For 25 years, she couldn't sleep. She was on the heaviest stuff they could give her, and it wasn't happening. She never slept for 2 hours. She would wake up before 2 hours. And then she'd be up and restless. She'd lay back down. She'd grab rest, I guess you'd say at best. So when I did this little thing, I do it so simple. Sometimes it frustrates people that have been in a real bind because they're like, you're making this way too simple. I just need God to come and deliver me. And I said, all I want you to do tonight is just put the thing aside. Say, Lord, I've been taking this. I'm not condemned for it. It's been helping, or I've been hoping it helps. But you know what? Tonight, I'm just going to trust one thing. I'm going to sit this over here. I ain't taking this. You're in the bathroom with the door closed. So you're one of two things. You're either out of your mind and you ought to just take your pills or get a hobby. Or he's real. And he's in the room with you. And that's what I'm going with. So you shut the door, put the pills aside, and you say, you know what I'm doing tonight? I'm just going to leave these sit here. I'm not condemned if I take them. I don't think you're mad at me because I took them. I just want to trust something. I just believe you love me. I just believe you'll make the difference tonight. And I believe when I lay in that bed, I'm going to sleep just because of you. I've learned that a lot of Christians don't have that relationship with God. They pray about their children. They pray for each other. They pray about a job. They pray for the car to run well. They pray for provision. They pray for their pastor, hopefully. We know how to pray about things, but I've learned the communion, fellowship, friendship, intimacy side of our lives. I ask people when I counsel and talk to them, I say, well, do you receive the love of God? They say, what do you mean? Do you ever just talk to God and thank Him for loving you and just appreciate the fact that He would send His Son and never change His mind about you, that on your darkest day He didn't lose sight of what He created you to be, and that your life never had the power to change God's heart. And that's why God's heart's changing your life. Do you ever like talk like that? And a lot of people are like, never even thought about that, let alone pray about that or talk about that. If you raised your hand and you're having tonight, whenever it's time to sleep, you just put that thing aside and say, Father, thank you for loving me. But tonight I'm going to sleep just because of you. Thanks for being good. And just go ahead and crawl in bed and watch and see what happens. This lady in Texas, I was being fun loving because it hurt my heart. She was so troubled. Like she wanted to believe, but she was almost past hope. Because she'd been a Christian. She was prayed for how many times? More than you can remember. She stood up in how many services? And I just was making it so light. I said, listen, guys, I'm telling you, you're going to sleep tonight. And I'm laughing and I'm just being me. She's back there crying because it's too good to be true. I haven't been in her shoes. She's been suffering for 25 years. And I saw how... I just saw her and I walked back, just right through the people. And I said, no, it's really true. Don't be afraid to believe. And I took her hand and she started crying. She said, but it's been 25 years. I said, honey, I'm not being insensitive. 25 hours, days, years. He's the Lord. I'm sorry it's been 25 years, but I'm telling you, you're going to sleep tonight. And I said, tonight I want you to just say something simple out of your heart like this. I give her and she's crying. She wants to believe it, but she's just about beyond hope. So I turned and I laughed and I said, so you're going to sleep tonight. And everybody's trying to encourage her. Yay. And I think her name was Sandy. And I turned to head back up and she was so broken. And I turned and I said, in fact, I said, honey, you're going to sleep so solid. I think Jesus himself is going to have to come and wake you up. And it just kind of was, the room was lighthearted. It wasn't psychology. It was just a lighthearted aha moment. But I was just having fun. She goes to bed and talks to the Lord that night and puts her prescription drugs on the counter. She told me it was midnight when she laid in her bed. It just struck 12. And she said, Lord, I'm just believing what that man said today, that I'm going to sleep tonight for one reason. Because you love me and I believe you do love me. Yes. Thanks for it. She said, she went, boom, she laid down. She was in the same position, had never moved. She felt her shoulder go and heard, Sandy. She felt somebody shake her shoulder and go, Sandy. She jumped and there's no one there. She looked and it was 8 o'clock. And she was in the same position from midnight to 8. And the Lord took my fun-loving gesture to heart.
It came and shook her.
It said, Sandy. And she went, like somebody walked in a room and was waking her up. And she went, and she looked and nobody's there. She said the feelings that came over her and the... Yeah? And then she realized Jesus came and woke me up. I slept for 8 hours and she's laying in her bed and bawled and bawled and bawled. Because when I got to the church, they're all around Sandy in the foyer and I thought they're ministering to her. I thought, uh-oh. Because she's over there shaking and crying and I'm thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, Don't tell me like she's one, the only one that didn't sleep. And everybody's like, yeah, I slept like a baby. That's probably not the best phrase. I said that to somebody one time. I said, oh, I slept like a baby. He said, oh, so you cried and woke up every 2 hours and needed a bottle? I said, no, no, a baby that's past that. You know, your kids will fall asleep in the car and you're carrying to bed and they don't even know what day it is. You go up all them steps. That's what I mean. Not a bottle and crying and needing my diaper changed. But they were calling me over and I was preparing myself. Like, I'm thinking, oh, Sandy, ah, what's going on? And I'm thinking she's like beyond hope now because Pastor Dan even told her she'd sleep and she didn't sleep and he seemed sincere. I used to like him. I go over. She's telling how Jesus shakes her shoulder and says her name and there's nobody in the room. And he woke her up and she slept straight 8 hours. And I'm like, woohoo, yay. Because I didn't know. It looked bad. It looked bad. She was so overwhelmed. You'd be overwhelmed too. If somebody joked and said, well, maybe Jesus himself's going to have to come get you up. And at 8 o'clock, your shoulder shook and you heard your name whispered in your ear and you jumped. And there's nobody there. And you haven't slept even 2 hours for 25 years and you just slept 8 hours and you're in the same position. And the Lord took the time to shake your shoulder and wake you and just rock your world. You'd be freaking out in the foyer too. So do that tonight. See, we didn't even pray for you. 100%, literally. Many, many times, literally 100%, it's always high 90s. People that say, oh my goodness, I slept like I can't even remember sleeping. Why? Because Jesus is blessing their step forward in communing with him because his desire is that you know him. Not that you know about him, not that you lean on him. You know, the devil himself isn't impressed with our church attendance. He doesn't believe you love God. He just thinks you need God. And there's a big difference between the two. There's a huge difference between just needing God and loving God. Because when you love God, you'll never change your mind about him no matter how things turn out or what things appear. You won't run him through the court of your mind and find him guilty when he's always innocent. You'll never get puffed up in pride and let the way that seems right to a man be your wisdom when you love God. But when you need God, disappointed, where have you been, questions, and most of your prayer is motivated by need. Rarely is it ever covenant, and rarely is it ever faith working through love. And all of a sudden this book gets reduced to a bunch of principles you're applying to get things to go the way you hope instead of an introduction into covenant and one. You with me? Come on, it's a big deal. Jesus said eternal life is knowing him, not praying a prayer. To qualify. Amen. Eternal life is that you might know him. Amen. This is eternal life. And guys, there's no other way to get to know somebody than spend time with them. Right. My neighbor 2 years ago, she died. It's 2 summers ago. This summer will be 2 years and passed on. She was 94. So she was my neighbor the whole time I lived in my house. I've been in the same house for 33 years. It's a humble little house. We paid for it when I was 42. I'm 57. We just haven't desired to move because it's home and we're comfortable and we can't even imagine packing up everything and moving anyway. So we'll just stay there. We just had so much rain it didn't even make sense and water came in the basement. I had to move everything and vac and all that. And we said, maybe we should just move. And we're still sitting there. We'll probably still be there on the next rain. But I had a neighbor the whole time, Ann, and her husband passed the first year we lived there. He died in his sleep and she woke up beside him and he never woke up. That stuff can happen quick. So that quick, she didn't have a husband. But she had neighbors. I took care of that girl. I didn't even know Jesus in the beginning. And I just had enough heart and sense to know she needed somebody to help. But when I got saved, it was on. I read Love Your Neighbor and she was right beside me. And I traveled, I pastored, I was visiting, I was, man, when I pastored, they spread me thin, man. When I pastored, people had the idea, they saw healings or so. I mean, I don't even share testimonies because everybody thinks it's about me praying for somebody. Look, everybody I've ever prayed for hasn't jumped up totally restored shouting hallelujah. I'm growing like you're growing, but there's truths that we're growing in. And what we make this big mistake is we check out somebody that has a couple testimonies. We, hey, the river's flowing there, man. Go ahead and get in the flow. Hey, you see God moving through this, man. Get over there. And I don't think that's the purpose ever from God. If there's grace in a man's life, it's to multiply that grace so every man can live the same. If there's a fivefold ministry, the fivefold ministry is so that there's an equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So we can all walk in the unity of faith and we're not tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine passing our way, but we actually get established in the truth and live edified. That's scripture. But we've made it about anointings and ministry. And it got me in trouble in the beginning because I'm not even a year old and I'm just reading my Bible going, whoa, and I saw some very miraculous things. And then you talk about them and everybody else talks about them. And today with social media, all you need to do is, hey, I've been to this conference, and I ain't never been healed. When I went over to so-and-so's conference, man, I got healed. And then everybody goes to that conference instead of get a hold of that truth that they possess. Are you with me? And all of a sudden, we're just running to get our needs met instead of our lives transformed. And that was a problem in Jesus' day. Because he said, woe to you. Woe to you. Right? He talked to Capernaum. He talked to a couple places he'd been where he moved in miracles and everybody got healed. He said, if Tyre and Sidon saw the miracles that you saw, they'd have been in sackcloth and ashes long ago. He said, in fact, if I'd have done the miracles in Sodom that I've done in you, she would still be here today. Meaning they would have turned around. What he's saying is this ain't no meeting your need thing. This is a transformation thing. Healing is just a gateway to greater truth and to the love of the Father that transforms your life. He is not a genie in a bottle, people. He is the Father of our lives. And it should be like Father, like Son. It really should be. Yeah? So there's this purpose in all this stuff. So I, years ago, I just stopped talking about a lot of these things. I just stopped talking about miracles. It's not that I got such a dib on it. I just stepped out in things and I learned the more you sow, the more something grows. Come on, I'm a gardener. I get this thing. If you don't put seed in the ground, you're not getting anything. So what have we sown? People say, well, I've never saw blind eyes open. I say, how many did you pray for? Yeah. We're always waiting for it to happen. And then when we hear it happen, we weren't there. So it doesn't impact us the same. You say, I've never seen anybody get out of a wheelchair. How many did you believe for? How many people in public have you stopped for and laid hands on? Man, stop your car now and then just to stir yourself. Just stop your car and just get your conscience flowing like, yay, God. Just see somebody hurting. It happens all the time. You're driving, there's somebody laboring down the sidewalk. Just find a place to park and walk up to them and talk to them. The worst they could do is say, leave me alone. Usually they look at you freaked out because you parked your car and they're thinking, you parked your car to pray for me? And they think it's some kind of radical gesture. And I've said countless times to people, don't think this is radical, friend. Let me tell you, radical. 2,000 years ago, God became a man, was totally innocent, and died as totally guilty to put his life inside of me so I could park and pray for you. That's radical. Parking and praying for you is no big deal. I remember parking this lady. She was having trouble in the sidewalk. She got into the alley. She's walking like that. My heart just broke. I pulled in my car and I ran over. I said, honey, what's going on? And she said, are you a doctor? I was thinking, no, but there's one in me. I'll never forget it. I knelt in the cinder alley on my knees. It just humbles people. It just humbles people. I knelt and I put my hands on her feet and prayed and I started weeping. I can't cry for her. I don't even know her, but Jesus can weep for her. And he's in me. It's an easy thing. It just happens. You don't think about it. Just pray for her. But man, you watch her face when all of a sudden, but she thought, you're stopping to pray for me? Why not? He died on the cross for you. I want to tell her that, but I don't want to show her value by I want to preach a message. I want to hand her a track, but I can't show her her value. Come on. Oh, my goodness. And she's crying and hugging. And then you share these testimonies. So then people hear these testimonies. And I understand it. So then everybody that's either sick or knows somebody that's sick, either can you call them? Can they call you? Can you come over? And they miss the whole point that we want to multiply the truth that we're all pursuing. Do you understand if you're seeing people healed in your life, you're just one person? Do you understand there's a whole lot of people that have a need for healing? Amen. Do you understand people say, well, they did it to Jesus? Yeah, because he was the only one and we're the body of Christ. You can't say, well, they did it to Jesus. If they're doing it to us, it means we're not getting the point. We're not growing up into him in all things. I can feel this isn't flying real well. No, I can feel, because we're so trained to follow after gifting and anointing. And we all say, well, they have a healing ministry. No, you have a healing ministry. You're called a believer. These signs shall follow those that
believe.
Doesn't say gifted. Doesn't say building a ministry. And then you got Facebook stuff. I noticed I had a white pages phone up until 2.5 or 3 years ago. I still had a white pages phone where you could just find my number on the internet, look at a phone book and find my number and just call my house. It was out of control because of YouTube. I'd come home from a trip like this. I'd have 6 countries on my home phone machine. The thing is full, flashing, and it's constantly ringing. Oh, you never saw anything like it. I'd turn off the sound and the ringer, and it would just flash all day, nonstop. But it was like a crisis center. It was grandmothers with grandsons dying in ICU. My son was just in a motorcycle wreck. I watch you on YouTube. You have a grip on God. Please, you have to call now. It was all crisis. It was all life. They just died. Can you come? We'll fly you here. Can you lay hands on them? You have no idea. And it breaks my heart because I'm like, oh my goodness, we're driven by need and we're looking for Jesus in someone instead of realizing Christ in us and going after it and going after it and going after it and never looking back and going after it. And then we rationalize, yeah, but you have more results or you've seen this. We've never seen it. So they send me emails. Have you ever seen this sickness healed? What they're getting at is if you've seen it healed, you might have a little breakthrough. Then we'll come to your service. If you've never seen it healed, you really don't have a breakthrough there. We'll find somebody that's seen it healed. I'm thinking that's in the long run, we're going to find out that's actually sin. Why do I have to have seen it healed? It's the anointing. Do I have to have ever used heroin to help a heroin addict? Or do I have to know truth? Come on. I don't have to have ever seen something healed to see it healed. It's the anointing. It's the finished work. We're not trying to get up. I was in a service and my mother has MS. She's laying in a bed and hasn't walked for years. I'm going through this thing like, man, it was my mom. There was a lot of things involved. You know, sometimes you're just feeling religious. You've prayed so much. Sometimes you're thinking, can she even be healed because of something she believed or said? And it's just craziness. And now I have this, I've grown so much since that all, but that was the one of the biggest challenges in my Christian life. Just walking through that. And I went through a long period of time. I didn't even pray for my mom because it just felt like rhetorical. But I'm in a service and I'm a guest speaker and there's people up front. And it was in a day when I still prayed for everybody. I just prayed. I didn't get you all involved like I did last night. Who knows? That was helpful last night to get people involved. Wasn't that good? That's empowering. And a lot of things happened. And I turned off my mic. You didn't think I could be quiet for 6 seconds, but I did it. I did it, man. 6 seconds quiet. Woo-hoo! You can do all things. And for 6 seconds, sincere faith, one for another, based on the finished work, only 6 seconds so nobody got self-conscious and tried too hard and slipped into works. Because I asked a simple question last night. Who's ever prayed for the sick and found yourself thinking more about what you were praying, how you were praying, and what you were saying than your belief in his love and his finished work? And almost everybody raised their hand. That's a problem. That means we're self-conscious and we're tricked into works and we think it's what we're doing instead of what he did. Because be healed in Jesus' name is plenty when there's a revelation. Yeah? I saw a lady years ago, I was teaching on the power of his name. The Lord had me, I couldn't have took my hands out of my pocket if I wanted to. You don't think he'll do stuff like that. You say, well, he's a gentleman. Yeah, he is, and he loves me, and he's proven a point. I couldn't take my hands out if I wanted to. It looked irreverent to some. I'm just walking real casual. The lady has 4 stage cancer, she's crying, and I've just preached on the revelation of his name and the power of his name, and I stood there and I just said, Jesus. That's all I said, with a revelation burning in my heart. Jesus, and cancer left her body. So you share a testimony like that, sudden you get 400 emails from people that have a loved one in cancer situation for you to call them and pray. And I'm one man. So you can't even share the testimonies because they're missing the point. Instead of getting the revelation of his name and pursuing it, they say, oh no, I need it now. You have it. Come here. And then it just doesn't work that way. You'll see some of the desperate emails. You ought to hear the phone calls. I didn't want to take rid of that number. I was a pastor for a long time. I got people in my town I poured into. Love. They love me. I don't want to be unreachable. And all of a sudden, I got to get rid of the number. Now I'm unreachable. It's kind of a bummer. Because of YouTube. But YouTube's helping. It also makes a draw on this other stuff and all the need out there. And all of a sudden, you got people calling you from every nook and cranny because they watched you on YouTube. People with broken English from another country. You can't even... Pastor Dan, I call you from... And they tell me the country. I'm like, what? You see, I watch you on YouTube. I know God say, if you call me, I be healed. Please call now, 001. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, I realized I was getting so many phone calls. I thought, all I teach is empowering, training, fellowship, be with Jesus. I thought, why am I getting so pursued? Here's what happened. Call the guy from Indiana calls me. We get chatting and talking. I called him back. I said, hey, I call a handful of people back in that day. It's hard now. You got to understand the situation I'm in. So I call him. I'm talking to him. And we prayed. It was something he's been prayed for so many times. And I said, well, let's just pray, man. And listen, let's just keep it simple because blah, blah, blah. And I just shared it in a simple way. We prayed and everything changed in his situation. He was just overwhelmed. So later that day, hey, you just prayed for my friend? Watch. Next day, hey, you just prayed for Bill? It's amazing. He don't have no pain. He told me I should give you a call because I've been having this situation for a long time. And he said, maybe you can help me. Could you give me a call? Like 4 or 5 phone calls connected to that one man. Friends talking to friends because they care. And they're saying, whoa, you got to call this guy. Right. That is not the point. The next thing you know, so then you got a grandmother. She's on the phone. My grandson's dying. You got to get here. You got to pray. I watch you all the time. And I was 5 days out of town. I remember hearing it. There's so many on there, but that one grabbed me because it was grandmama and a baby. And I flicked it on, and I'm 5 days late. I'm not even home. And then you know what people think? I've had this said. Wow, you talk about love, and when I need your love, you can't even call it the biggest crisis of my life. It's so out of order. It's so judgmental. It's so not right. It's called needs driven. It's not good. It reveals we don't have relationship with Jesus. We just need him to fix our stuff. Wow. Come on, I'm being straight. I know that's a little sharp, but hey, I'm not trying to tone it down at all. I'm just not saying it mean. It just means we're needs driven. And if you're needs driven, you're never going to be okay. You're only going to live in the moment, and you're only as good as the moment is, so you'll rarely shine light to the world. You'll be driven by need. You see the problem? When you're driven by need, it hinders the light. So now your impact and your outflow is hindered because you're always looking to make it, not manifest. So it's always about what he can do for you instead of who he is in you and through you. Are you with me? So now when you go to work, all you have in your mind is what you need from God instead of the mission field you're in and how people need to see the light of Christ through your life without you trying hard. But because your perspective has a shift on it, everything's quenched that's supposed to be. Are you with me? Whew. I fly all the time. I love it. People say, traveling, boy, you know what I mean, traveling. And people say, well, they'll complain about traveling and say, well, you know what I'm talking about. You travel all the time. And I'm thinking, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Because they're talking about frustration and crowds and people. You're called to people. Yes. Come on. If you're so thin-skinned that you feel resentment towards people because they're butting in line to get on the same plane so they have room for their luggage and you might not have room for yours, if that bothers you, you're already in trouble. And you probably don't have much to give anybody. We want preference. We got so many fly miles. We want treated like a king. Airlines are sharp and smart. So they call it status and red carpet. Preferred. And that stuff gets weird, and in people that minister and preach, and because they got 10 skillion miles, because it's all they do is fly, now they got red carpet. So if they have to sit in the middle, they'll lose their disposition. What am I doing in a middle seat when somebody has to sit there? Why can't it ever be you? Because I'm preferred. No, you're deceived. And you're puffed up in your status. And you're not considering others more highly than yourself and not considering your own interest but the interest of others. You're missing Scripture by a billion miles, even though you're preaching from a pulpit. Come on. You're going to let the seat you're sitting in control your disposition and tell me you're free? Come on, when you talk about it, it sounds foolish. But in the moment, it sounds legit to people. I don't like the window. I feel crammed in, and if I need to get out the bathroom, I just need an aisle. Yeah, but all they got's a window. God, I thought you loved me. Why do I have a window? I fly a lot. I got this thing down. Because if that stuff starts bothering you and all you're worried about is connections, and if you're going to make your and you're going to be late and you're going to have to stay overnight in Charlotte, if all that's mattering, you don't even see the people around you. You're just watching your clock, you're checking your flight, and you're worried. There's something in front of you all along the way. You can miss a connection. You can get laid over and have to stay overnight. And you have the opportunity to love people all around you, all the time, right in front of you. And if you're really sharp, you understand if you didn't get hung up, you wouldn't even have these certain people in front of you. This is your one crack at these people. That sure beats feeling sorry for yourself and sulking and wondering where you missed it that you got hung up. Yeah? Or why, God, did you let this? What are you trying to show me? The people all around you. Come on, if you're caught up with that stuff, you ain't got nothing to give. You know what a flight can look like for me? I can jump in a seat and sit down. I say, hey, how are you doing today? They say, oh, good. And then they might even say to me, how are you doing? And I'm probably not going to say, oh, hanging in there. I like when they ask me how I'm doing. It's like a pool cord doll. They say, how are you doing today? And they go, whoa, you're really passionate. Whoa, oh, you see passion? I'm actually trying to not overwhelm you. Oh, no, you're passionate. And then short in, it's like this. Well, you know what I see? What do you mean you see? What do you see? Well, I see that for the last 2 years, bam, pow. Next thing you know, they're trembling. And all of a sudden, the fear of the Lord's right there on the airplane. I've been stopped. My record, which we're aiming to break now for a long time, but we haven't. My record, my personal record, is being stopped 4 times trying to get off the plane by total strangers crying, asking for prayer. That sure beats screaming with a bullhorn. You just let your light shine and people come to the light. You just sit and be real and authentic to the person beside you, and you're whispering and you're not trying to take over the plane. But the plane has their deer ears on. They're listening. The man in front of you, true story, you're looking between the seat as you're talking to the lady who's trembling, and he's on the same page for 15 minutes. And you feel like tapping him and saying, hey, bud, you're blowing your cover. Because he's listening. He forgot his book. See? You think this stuff is possible and I'm going to have attitudes that are degenerate and worry about he said, she said, and who butted and what seat? And oh, you're going to find one day you were so deceived that you had life and the possibilities of life right in front of you. And you just missed the opportunity to see it and seize it. And you got tricked into making it all about you. While we were singing, it was all about him. Oh, boy. Yeah? And they weep, and you pray for them. It's obvious Jesus is on the plane. And then you go to get out, and somebody taps you on the jetway. Somebody's waiting up in front of you on the jetway or right outside the gate of the plane. And they say, excuse me. I've seen it so much. They tremble. "Yes, ma'am. It's okay. Were you hoping I would pray with you? Well, I just didn't know if you have a flight to catch or..." "I'm good, honey. What is it?" That's beautiful. And you get to share truth, and you take her, and you pray, and you hug her, and you head off to your plane. That's fun. And then there's some flights where it's four people. I've never had more than four. I just want more than four. It's personal. It's personal. It's just personal. It's just... I was in Walmart and prayed for the lady at the cash register. Thin little girl with a Walmart badge and uniform. She took off her little splint and had no pain. She was afraid to even move. When I went to pray for her, she said, "No." I said, "Honey, I'm not going to hurt you." I said, "Jesus wants to touch you. It'll be fun. Let me pray." We always say the worst that can happen is nothing, and that's not what we're believing for. And if we don't pray, you already have that anyway. So what are you losing? You got nothing to lose. That's how we talk to people. You got nothing to lose. The worst that can happen is nothing. If we don't pray, you already got what you had. Let's just go for it. People get heady. They're like, "Well, I just don't want to let them down." They're not expecting to get healed. They're not like, "Oh, bummer. They just lifted my hopes to the moon and shattered me all in a minute." I've never seen anybody on the streets get disappointed if their body didn't change. They're not expecting it to change. But I have seen them freak out. This lady freaked out. Little thin girl, just a young thing, probably 18. She took her little thing off and she's freaking out and she's loud. And she's on the clock representing Walmart. So I thought, wow, I didn't do this to take over the store, but she is helping the process. So I just waited and watched and give me wisdom, Lord. Because I'm not trying to overtake the store. I just wanted to touch one little girl going along the way and be real and genuine and personal. And she sure got touched personal. So now she's announcing to Walmart that she's healed. Loud. And she's screaming, "This man prayed for me. And Jesus, no kidding, no, for real." She's holding her brace. "Jesus totally healed me. I couldn't even touch it. It was so sore to the touch for days and days. And we didn't know what to do. And this man prayed for me. And Jesus healed me right here at the register. No joke. For real." And she's screaming it. And I'm going, "Oh, you're preaching good." I look and she's got everybody. Yeah, what's everybody do? They're all walking. They hear this girl screaming. They're like... And everybody's just, it's like we got a congregation. They looked like you right now in Walmart. It was just like you. So I just smiled and I smiled to everybody. Kind of lifted my voice and talked about how real Jesus is and he wants to live in us. All this is Christianity, people. Christianity is not church attendance, man. It's not wrong to attend a church, but Christianity is walking in love and caring about people and bringing a living Jesus into the moment. That's Christianity. Christianity is not church attendance. The only reason you gather is to stir one another in love and good works. Christianity is Christ-likeness, not church attendance. Yay. In fact, parents, you run a risk when all you do is make sure you get your kids to church because it's the right thing to do and there's a push to get to church, but no push for Christ-likeness. Because then inadvertently you teach your children that Christianity is church attendance. And then they don't even want to go after a while because been there enough and we're a little older now and it's not fun anymore. Whatever happens to kids. Why? Because the parents are the same at home. But if you can teach your children that it's all about Christ-likeness by the way you carry your life. And even if you slip into something, they can see the beauty of repentance, the sincerity of change, the sincerity of it, godly sorrow. And all of a sudden they can follow your example right into him. Yeah? But I couldn't even get out of Walmart that day. I think I prayed for 12 people. I didn't ask to pray for anybody. I let them come to me. You know, in the Bible, we're always trying to get people saved. In the Bible, they saw the Christians' lives and they actually approached them and said, "What must I do to be saved? Men and sirs, what shall we do?" We're trying to get them to shake their head with us and we call that conversion. They were so amazed by the way they lived their life. They came and said, "What do I need to do to get where I see you right now? Like, what do I need?" You know how fun it is? You're sitting on a plane and somebody's looking at you shaking and crying because you just told them they had pain for the last 20 years and they've been on pain meds and it's been chronic, and you take your fingers right down the place where it's at, and they are, the fear of the Lord is on them. You know how beautiful it is when they look in your eyes trembling and they go, "He's in you. Like, He's in you." Like, yeah, He wants to be in you too. How do I get Him in me? How can He get in me like I see Him in you? It's pretty easy. Take my hand. And then I begin to share and tell Him, and we pray. Then I take a water bottle and cover Him with it and baptize. No, I'm just kidding. I have put a lot of people in the hotel swimming pools where I've stayed. More people than I can remember I baptized in hotel swimming pools. I've never had a clerk tell me I couldn't. I just tell them about Christian baptism and what it's all about. And there's no place in the Bible they didn't get baptized immediately. So can we just use your pool since I'm down here in room 110? And they say, okay. And you take them in and you baptize them. You know what we do? We're trying to get them to heaven. Jesus wants them transformed. The reason baptism has slipped away from the message, because we're not thinking about them being transformed. We just want their name in a book. We're not thinking new life. Baptism represents new life. You're dying to live. Yeah? And then you share that, and then you tell them old things are going to pass away. Behold, all things are becoming new. We did one baptism where seven people, don't feel bad if you're wearing eyeglasses, I'm just telling you what happened in the baptism. Seven people got baptized, and when they came up, they had perfect vision and they couldn't see with their glasses. We did several baptisms where countless young ladies were into this cutting thing and all their scars left when we put them under and brought them out. We had a man that was getting chiropractic treatment daily just to function, and when he came out and got dressed, he came over and said, "Dude, I don't know what you guys did, but the way you laid me or something in there." He's so used to chiropractic. He said, "The way you laid me in there, you just did like the perfect adjustment. Something lined up. Like, I haven't done this forever." And he's doing all these things. He said, "Every day I go to the chiropractor, whatever you guys did, man, it just..." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, it's just totally..." I said, "Old things pass away. Behold, all things..." And he went, "Whoa." And it finally hit him. What happened? It was a putting off the old and putting on the new. Countless people with hepatitis. I do recovery ministries all the time. It's my favorite place to minister. I know the Lord's not biased. I'm not really biased. I love all people. But my favorite arena is recovery, because there's so many lies embroiled in a life of recovery. When you've been addicted, when you've cycled, when you've sold your body to stay high, when you've thrown away the honor of your created value and purpose, and you've trashed yourself and you're condemned and tormented, and years go by and you're living in the gutters of life, there's a lot of lies attached there. It's my favorite arena to minister. I love it. And I love to get those folks in the water. It's like almost in the spirit, you can just hear STDs screaming out. Hepatitis. I've lost count of hepatitis healed. Lost count of STDs, incurable STDs, screaming out. A lot of them at water baptism. Because you teach them when you go under, you're going to die to everything you've ever been. And everything that He is going to come upon you, and you're going to walk in the newness of life. Well, the newness of life isn't the oldness of life. The newness of life is new life. It's not yesterday. So I tell them, once you change, God will never judge you for where you've been. Do y'all know that? Once you repent, and once you're sorrowful, and once you cry out and you're forgiven, will you ever get judged for where you've been? Will God ever mention your sin? Or is it removed? Who's that from?
It just came while you were talking.
Oh.
Hello. Someone from my church.
Wow. Yeah. You just follow through, man. You know how I got water baptized? I don't even tell anybody this because I didn't even know it was legal. I got saved by myself in an aisle with no human being around. And Jesus changed my life. There wasn't a person around. Now, I grew up in church. I had a lot of seed in me. I had people praying for me. But God Himself came and transformed me in a moment in an aisle. I found myself in water shortly after, and I went, whoa, I have not been baptized yet. I said, Holy Spirit, would this be cool if I just get baptized right now? Like you're here. Father, Jesus. So in the water, I began to weep and say, I thank you that I'm dead to everything I ever was. And everything He had already taught me about new life and transfer. And I said, Holy Spirit, when I go under and come up, I know you're going to wait for me here. I know you're going to receive me and present me to the Father, a brand new baby. Oh, it's the womb of God. What are baptism? Who's a mama here? Who carried a baby? Right? You carried him in a sack of what? Water. How'd you know the baby was about to come? What's the first sign? Water breaks. Oh. There's three that bear witness on the earth, the blood, the spirit, and the water. Or what happens? You put the baby in the womb of water. It's called water baptism. It's a holy thing. It's a spiritual thing. And when the water breaks, a baby comes forth. A brand new baby, as if it was never alive before. God will never judge you for where you've been. So why is where you've been judging you? If old things pass away and all things become new, shouldn't that go? Doesn't mercy triumph over judgment? If God's not judging you, then why is where you've been judging you? So those scars should leave. So that SDT shouldn't stand a chance. Hepatitis shouldn't be there. And we ought to get aggressive and preach it that way. Because when you preach it that way, that thing comes in the room. It's called redemption. And the word redemption means brought back, bought back to original value. I wish we'd all just get aggressive and start believing God like never before. I mean it, like never before. Yeah? See, it's really all about freedom. Like we think, well, he's just so evangelistic. Some people are evangelists. We're all called to shine as lights. Love is evangelistic. Light is greater than darkness. So if there's light in you, you're automatically walking in influence. So influence is leadership is influence. You say, well, not everybody's a leader. Well, every Christian's a leader in the aspect of they carry the influence of the light. So you can lead in the way of truth. Are we still following, mentoring? Are we still growing up into Him? Yeah. But from the time you're born again, you become a leader in the way of influence concerning shining light and living in a different attitude in the world, not of the world. Everything's become new. You put new wine in a new wineskin. Come on, this stuff, I don't think we've talked about this enough and gotten real with this. I think we've been tricked into just driven by our needs and hoping Jesus makes our everyday work better. I think our marriage is hurting, so we read our Bible because we haven't read it for a while. We go to church hoping He heals our marriage, but what about transformation, becoming a new man? What about stopping fueling the fire I've been praying to go out? And what about becoming a benefit and a blessing to the people around me? Come on. I'm not being mean. I'm just being sober. Ugh. What are we even doing right now? I don't even know what we're doing. How do you title stuff? People put stuff on YouTube and put titles. How do you title this? I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know what I'm doing. Right now, I'm panicking. Like, you're sitting here and I don't even know what we're doing. But you're here. He said you spent $10 to get in here. I'm really nervous now. They're going to want their $10 back. I say, that man talked in circles. He nailed nothing home. Like, what are we doing? I think that $10 was because there was such limited seating. And if you gave your $10, you'd probably come and not you were coming and then not come. Because when there's limited seating, you got a bunch of people that want to come and they tell people they can't come. And then the people that said they are coming don't come. That's a bummer. I think that's all that was about, right? Because I sure didn't ask you for no income. Do you know I'm not here because of that offering you took? Look, if I was here for an offering, I would not be here. I have about 1,000 invites laying at home. It's not a joke. It's a stack of emails. It's that tall. My granddaughter freaks out. She's like, Grandpa. She said, they're all invites. I said, yeah. She says, I didn't think there was that many churches in the world. I got that many invites. You think I'm here? If I'm here for the offering, I would just pick out the big churches. I would ask you how big you are. Did I ever ask you how many people would be here? Did I ever ask you if it was small or large? Did I ever ask you about finances? Did I ask you to reimburse me for anything? You know why I'm here? Because I want to be.
Yeah.
And I actually believe the gospel I'm preaching.
Yeah.
And I knew if I'd come, somebody'd be here. Yeah. I was hoping. I thought, all that traffic I sat in on 95, somebody better come. Somebody better show. Or I'm going to have to go against that message I've preached for 24 years. And be offended. No. I think we've all been jaded without realizing it. I think we've all been tricked into having a brow raise and think there's a string attached to everything. But wonder if there is a such thing as pure on the earth. Wonder if Jesus was sincere when he said, the pure in heart shall see God. And to the pure, all things are pure. You know, we're all called to become love. Love is the goal. If we miss becoming love, we miss the point of why Jesus came, guys. I'm serious. Jesus did not come to take you to heaven. He came to put heaven into you. He didn't come to take you to a physical place. He came to put heaven back inside of you so you could go preach saying with your life, the kingdom of God is here.
Hallelujah.
Come on. It's just scriptural. It's so scriptural. We shouldn't even ever fight over this stuff. Ah. So fun. God's good. Sometimes people's faces are fun. Forgive me. But I preach stuff and it looks like a deliverance meeting. Everything coming out of my mouth, I got so many scriptures flying. Just tie it all up. I was just in church last week. This guy says, dude, I've been reading the Word. He's from a recovery center. So he just camped out in the Word for like months. Just read his Bible. He said, you barely make a statement and you got the thing already wrapped in 2, 3, 4 scriptures. And then you finish the statement and there's 3, 4 more scriptures. He said, 90-some% of what you say is scripture. He said, whether people realize it or not, you're just speaking scripture and tying it all in. And it's like, whoa. And he started naming all the books he heard me quote, and it was funny. He just fired up. But it ought to be that way, because it's not our opinion, right? It's Jesus. He's the one that gave us this whole thing. See, here's what I say all the time. If what you believe you know, if it didn't come from him, then you don't know it at all. Because you have one teacher, and he's the Christ. So if I didn't learn it from him, where'd I learn it? And if I didn't learn it from him, is it all the way true? You and I grew up with a ton of half-truth. Half-truth is worse than a lie. Because you'll never identify it hardly because it's only half a lie. It's half true. Because it has some truth, the way that seemeth right, you don't even look for it. Half-truth is dangerous. Because there's no freedom in it. It's only half-true. It's worse than a lie. A lie you can pinpoint and turn around. That's what Jesus said. I'd rather you be hot or you get lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'm saying to the Lord, man, I would think lukewarm is at least halfway to hot. Why isn't that better than cold? He said, because lukewarm is a produced place that men have produced in the middle. It's a choice. He said, if you're cold, I can save you and set you on fire. If you're hot, I can make you hotter because you're already hot and you like hot. But if you're lukewarm, it's by choice. And you've created a space that never was. So you're living half in and half out and you're dangerous in that place. Because of the messages you send and you're no good. That's what I heard in prayer. The lukewarm man is no good for anyone. Because he's misrepresenting. And he'll spew that man out of his mouth. He called it hypocrisy to me. Lukewarm. Because I was puzzled. I said, why would you spit a lukewarm person out of your mouth, but not a cold person? He said, because they can repent and I can set them on fire. He said, a lukewarm person already knows both sides. He's designed a spot. He's picked a place to abide that he was never created to abide. It's It's self-manufactured. And he doesn't want change. He doesn't want all the way in, but he doesn't want all the way out. So he'll come to church, he'll serve in the ministry, he'll sit in on the meeting, he'll pay his tithes, but he won't deal with the unforgiveness in his heart, or he won't deal with the secrets in his life. It's a very, very, very dangerous place to live, because in that place you're ineffective to have influence in other people's lives, because you're not free. How are you bringing freedom? The best you can do is quote doctrine and get in a debate. But how are you going to bring freedom? How are you going to be confident in a Walmart or an airplane to minister the one you've been with? To talk about the one you know. Not the one you've studied. There's a difference. Remember I was telling you about Ann who passed, my neighbor, and I took good care of her? When her husband passed, when I got saved, it was on. I mowed her grass all those years. For 20 years, I mowed 20, I'm 24 saved. For 22 years, I mowed Ann's grass. I cleaned her gutters. I trimmed all her hedges. And I traveled every weekend and pastored and was all over the place. But man, did I take care of that girl. And she loved me. She loved me. We'd sit on the bench and talk. And I'd share Jesus with her and she'd ask me questions. One day, we had a guy come and fix our eaves and overhangs, wrapped it with new tin and stuff. So he put his little ad in the front yard, little advertisement sign. She come running across the driveway crying. I didn't know you were moving. I said, honey, we're not moving. He said, well, you got the sign out there. I said, oh, honey, that's the construction guy. That's just his little ad thing. He has to leave it in there a couple days just to show off his work so somebody might call him and ask for business. You know, it's just his promo. Oh, I thought you were moving. She cried. She said, I just thought I got the best neighbors in the whole world and now they're moving. I thought that's pretty cool when a neighbor cries. When they think you're moving and isn't like, yes! Jesus! She loved this, but here's my point. I lived there all those years. I've been in my same house 33 years. So 31 years I lived there that Ann was there. And after 31 years, just by observation, being around her, and maybe have never talked to her, never went over and talked to her, maybe just by living there 31 years and being near her and associating, I could probably stand here and I'd talk to you for quite a while about her and be pretty accurate. And never had met her. That's what people do in Christianity all the time. They listen to sermon after sermon. They get all the facts about God, all the knowledge about God. They hear all the sermons. They listen to more sermons and listen for new sermons. And then they learn this topic and they haven't learned about this, so they study this. Next thing you know, they can talk all about God. But until you're with Him, you'll never truly get to know Him. Until I knock on Ann's door, I could talk about her. I could say, you know, she's an amazing lady. She has a handful of friends for all these years. There's a lady that picks her up every morning. She must love McDonald's coffee because we come back. She got the yellow arches on the little cup and she has it every morning. Friday has to be hair day because when she gets out of that lady's car, her hair is nice. She loves red because when she drove, her car was red. Her jacket's always red and she has a red sweater. She's frugal lady because there's a lot of holes in that sweater. And when a new one comes, it's always red. So I could just start talking to you about her because I've been around her. But until I knock on her door and she answers and I look in her eyes like I'm looking in yours and say, hey, my name is Dan. I'm your neighbor. She says, well, hi, my name's Ann. I can't tell you I know her. And even then, I just met her. But I can't really tell you I know her until I make that contact. Why is it any different with the Lord? You say, well, because he's not, he's like, where is he? He's right here. Don't be thrown. Don't get sensual. Don't look for manifestations, thunder, lightning, and voices. Just look for truth. I've talked to countless people, Pastor, that are Christians that never talked to God and initiated conversation in an intimate way when they were alone. Never said, thank you for loving me. Thanks for making me clean. I appreciate you forgiving me of everything I've ever done and washing me clean and filling me with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I've talked to countless Christians that are sincere, see their need for a Savior, and never entered into that place with the Lord. It's the only place you're going to get to know Him. Watch this. And knowing Him is the only place where your life is transformed. Because if it's not through His Spirit and through His grace, then it's works. Then it's you just trying to be better and you'll never feel like you're good enough. But when you get alone with Him, He has the power to change you in the communion, in the relationship. I preach 1 John 4 a lot. 7 and 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Kind of sounds like a commandment, huh? "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone," how many? "Everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Watch. "He who loveth not just knoweth not God, for God is love." He didn't say you don't go to church. He didn't say you don't pastor. He didn't say you don't lead worship. He said, if you don't love, there's one reason, not two. You don't know Him like you could. He didn't say you don't see your need for a Savior. He didn't say you never cried over your sins. But He did say, if you don't love, there's one reason, not two. You don't know Him like you could. Which means it's impossible to know Him and not begin to be transformed by Him, because He's very influential. So love doesn't seek its own. Love takes no account of the wrong done to it. Whew. Then why are we so busted up by so many things? Because we haven't become love. Why haven't we become love? Because we haven't known Him like we could. That's convicting. Why we argue with each other? Why is there so much animosity in our homes? How can two people be intimate and have a fallout in the morning? Because it's probably not love. It's probably needs driven. It's probably feeling oriented. Probably need to grow in some things. Boy, you guys are quiet. Come on, love doesn't seek its own. How many times do we say, "I love you, do you love me?" And all you're saying is, "I love you for me. This relationship benefits me. I'll call it love. Because it feels good." Don't pull ship. Don't jump ship. Don't pull the rug out from under me. You're working for me. This is good. Don't hurt me. Love you. That's why there's so much pain in relationships. So much pain in relationships. Not everybody's had this experience, but across the board, there's been more pain in relationships than blessing. Because we haven't grown in love. And if you don't love, there's not two reasons. There's one. You don't know Him like you could. So I guess to know Him is eternal life. I guess eternal life is living free from yourself and walking in love and being one with the one that is never going to die.
Yay. And I guess that's God's plan from the beginning, so Jesus restored it.
Don't miss that. And don't turn it into something else, because it's not something else. And don't hide behind ministry and service in the church. Those things have their place, but they're never your identity. They're just a function through knowing who you are and where you fit. You know how the Bible says to avoid the appearance of evil? Why does the Bible say to avoid the appearance of evil? Because He knows people will think evil. Whether it is or not. If it's only the appearance of evil, then why do we have to avoid it if it's not evil itself? Because people will see something might be evil. Why? Love thinks no evil. So it's another indictment against us. God has to tell us to avoid the appearance of evil because people aren't perfected in love and they'll think evil. Ain't that something? Why are you telling us this, preacher? So you take responsibility and make sure that's never you. Forget about your neighbor. Make sure that's never you. Don't listen to this for your spouse. If you elbowed them, I'm definitely talking to you. And if you elbowed them back, got you both. You know how we hear sermons for each other? We'll be sitting there, wife's been hurting, husband's been mad. He says, "I hope she's listening." I've been praying for this, God, for a long time. Thank you, God. You finally got that preacher talking her business. She better, what's she doing in her purse? You foul, distracting spirit. Get off of that gum wrapper, girl. Listen to that man of God. And you're sitting there, and God's talking to you the whole time. And you're listening to the sermon for her. Because how she's doing decides how you're doing. So she's the idolatry of your life, and she's Lord whether you're mad at her or not. She's the governing factor of your disposition. She is in charge. Love changes that. Ooh, I'm preaching good right now. I hope you're listening. You all like it. You ought to see your faces. When I was over here leaning, talking soft, you guys got serious. You should have seen you all. I didn't see no elbows. I just threw that out there, but I didn't see none. So I don't know who got ribbed, but don't tell me. I don't want to know who got ribbed. Some people would be like, she ribbed me, he ribbed me. You know why we're laughing like this? Because the truth is so sharp. God doesn't want to hurt you. This Holy Ghost anesthesia. You just take a little laughing gas. You done had open heart spiritual surgery. You don't even know you've been cut open. You see, that was funny. He had me laughing, but somehow you're different. Somehow you have new convictions. Somehow you can't do the same thing without thinking about it. Because God's amazing. That's what these little sessions do. So powerful. Yeah? Because all of a sudden, Holy Spirit has a voice in your life where He might not have had a voice before because you didn't even know or see. And you're being destroyed for what you don't understand or know. Now you got a little bit of conviction, a little insight, a little seed sown, just another option to consider. And now you're out there living and you're reacting and Holy Spirit goes, doo-doo-doo-doo, and pulls you right back to that place. And all of a sudden, you catch yourself right in the middle. That doesn't mean you fail. Don't say, oh, bummer, I ain't getting this right. That's when you say, wow, thank you for the truth. Man, wasn't long ago, I'd have went full bore into this thing. Thanks for stopping me. That has nothing to do with who you are and what you've called me to. Wow, you done saved me, touched me, and ministered truth to me right in the moment. Thanks for loving me. And all of a sudden, you're excited. Not, oh, there I go again. Like a service like this. You could hear me talking. You could leave here with the wrong perspective and go, boy, I got a long way to go. You could think, well, I don't even know if I'm barely saved. Instead of, wow, God, you just painted a light on the trail. Man, I got clear vision in front of me. I sure have direction after today. Man, I see what I'm called to. I see what you paid for. I see who I am in you. You sure got my attention this afternoon. You see how you could... Your perspective means everything. If God can change your perspective, He's changing your whole life. You with me? And I said it last night. Maybe I said it this morning. The barometer that you go by is if what you're thinking and what you're believing, if it isn't encouraging your heart and producing life and moving you forward, it cannot be the Lord. You know how we've been our own worst enemies with our mind, our thought patterns? And you're tracking in and you're meditating in a bad spot. Next thing you know, you're grayed out or bummed out. And then that thing balloons and now it's even worse. And now you have this whole soap opera painted in your head. And you have every reason to almost be half dead or to give up. Come on. You're going to tell me that's the Lord. You're going to tell me that's truth. No matter how rational it seems. No, because there's no way out. There's nothing redemptive in the pattern. So even if God was ministering to you and exposing something, wouldn't He give you the answer? Wouldn't He show you the way out? Or would He just come and tell you what you haven't been? Or would He show you what you're called to be? Did you notice when I'm preaching, I'm always giving the answer. I'm always showing you what we're called to be. And in the process, it's exposing everything we've all seemed to grow up and think we are. And it's just to expose that and point, boom, boom. It's always redemptive. It never just leaves you hanging. It never leaves you crushed. It never just leaves you guilty. Always shows you a way out. If your thought isn't in that arena, you're not thinking in the Lord. We should be a very excited people because we died to the biggest lie of our life, living for ourselves. So we could go ahead and shine for His great name.
Hallelujah.
Ain't that something?
Yes.
Yeah. I know it, man. I'm excited too. It's good. And everybody in this room has this calling, and we all carry this influence. You just think, as small as this room is, how do you weigh the impact we can have if we just start living this way at some level? Now you think with me and have fun with that. You just think about you touching and loving along the way. Not complaining, not griping, not good enough. What he said, what she said. Why wouldn't if they didn't? Why are you looking at me? You throw all that out. And you just wake up to shine and wake up to love. Times everybody here. And at some level, you just start considering others more highly than yourself and laying down your life to promote good things and walk in love. And you just touch one here and one there. And you touch one here and there, times everybody in this room, times 4 months, 6 months, a year. And you think about consciously living this way and the impact that'll have on our culture and society. I don't even know how you can measure it. And then the more you grow and the more bold you get, next thing you know, you're at the gas pump and you're just peeking around. Hey, you doing good today? Prices are kind of hanging good, huh? I didn't think they'd last this long. It's pretty good, ain't it? Yeah, it's not too bad. Bleeping president. That's just people. And you say, listen, man, when you came around your car, it looked like you were really favoring your left side. What's going on? Is that your knee? What is it? Oh, man, it's my knee, my ankle, you name it. I've been working hard my whole life. That thing's giving out on me. I don't know how long I'm on. We keep getting down on it and get up because of my job. It always... Really, what do you do? Oh, I'm a plumber. I got to get down again under sinks. It's getting hard, man. Listen, man, I didn't ask you because I'm nosy. I asked you because I care. You got nothing to lose. Please don't say no. You got your gand on your pump. You say, listen, I know we're both filling up. Just give me your hand. What? Just give me your hand, man. It's not a trick. You're going to love this. He gives you your hand. He doesn't even know what you're doing. He thinks you're going to read his palm. I don't know. He just hand his hand out there. You just take the side of his hand real gentle. You got your pump. You just write out. You didn't even ask permission. You don't have to ask permission. You say, Father, I just thank you for your unstoppable love for this man. I've never had nobody jerk their hand out of my hand. I had nobody ever punch me in the face. I had nobody ever say, well, you set me up. Say, Father, I just thank you for loving this man, and I just thank you for who you are and what you do. Pain, you come out of his leg. Knee, you be completely restored. Foot, you be healed. In Jesus' name. Yeah? Watch. The worst that can happen is nothing changes in his condition. But guess what happened anyway? He sees your sincerity, he understands that you actually care and believe something. Right. And all of a sudden he says, no, it still hurts. Watch, that's what we're all afraid of. That's why we don't take his hand, because we're afraid it won't happen. But if you don't love and you don't sow the seed of love, how are you going to harvest? Get a harvest that comes from love. See? And all of a sudden you don't turn faith into a point in time. And you look at him and you say, well, listen, take heart, man. I did that because I believe. I read in my Bible that these signs follow those who believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Listen, man. Today you think about your leg. You check in on it. And when you don't have that pain going through there, you'll remember this moment. And you know one thing. It was God Almighty, because he loves you, man. His eyes been fixed on you for a long time. Have an awesome day. And he's like, still half freaked out. You're like, cool, man. Okay, man. And sometimes it ain't until you get in the car and drive away with no string attached. You didn't hand him a business card, a church card, and you didn't even try to get him to repeat a prayer. You just gave him something with asking nothing in return. And not until you drive away does he even put down his guard. And all of a sudden his mind is ripped by that expression of string-free love. And all of a sudden he has to face the fact that you genuinely cared. And you did that for him and his sake because you believe whatever you believe. I wonder if he gets in his car and he's still musing on that and he goes, I love painting these pictures. You talk, who was the guy? Who said about artist? Who was that today? Was that you? Said about preaching an artist? Watch this. I love painting these kind of pictures. Watch this, Abner. You say, yeah, I'm about to get in his car. And all of a sudden he goes, man, that was crazy. That was like that guy really cared. Like, he don't even know me. And it was like he cared about me. And all of a sudden he's thinking that way. And all of a sudden the presence of God just starts fuming into his... And all of a sudden God says, I've cared about you from the beginning. And all of a sudden he's having an encounter with God because you sowed or you watered on what was sowed. And God's here to bring the increase. So you got to paint those little pictures. Give you faith to sow some seed. Get out in your life and sow seed. Sure beats grumbling, complaining, living in fear, asking God to make things better. Sure beats being self-conscious. What a dry and lonely world. Whew. Get out and sow some seed. Kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. Goes to bed at night and wakes up and goes, how do you do it, Lord? You're amazing. He says, well, thanks for sowing. I'll keep it growing. Woo! Yeah? Do you see how simple this is? Just being kind. Just helping people, man. Just walking them to the car. Helping them. Carry, listen, man, you got trouble. No, I'm good. I'm good. No, man, you got two bags and you're barely making it now. Just give me that. It's only 20 feet. It's not a problem. I want to help you. Make a little conversation. If nothing really opens up or you hear something or say something, great. But just be nice, man. In your grocery store, if you can. Not everybody has the means to do this. This really freaks people out. You see the mama. See, she got three kids. You somehow realize, you might even realize, wow, she's a single mom. Or you know how some people are. They look and see, I wonder if she got a ring on. She got them three kids. She got a ring on. You're like, oh, that single mom. See, she got herself messing around, sleeping around, even got no husband. No wonder she's in a mess. Christians do that stuff. Well, she shouldn't have been all messing around. No wonder she's in a jam. She's done a million miles away from the grace of God. That girl, I don't even know why she'd bother going to church after she's got three kids and ain't married. I don't even know what God's going to do with her. There's people like that out there that go to church. You know the best thing you can do? That lady says, 49.68. And she goes, oh, is it that much? Oh, no, I didn't know. Oh, I have 40 here. Let me look. I got change popped away here. I got some dollars somewhere. She's here, and you say, you just reach up and you just swipe that thing. And she goes, what? Sir, that was my... No, no. Jesus said he'll cover it. Listen, honey, he loves you. And all of a sudden the word will come, something encouraging. You just say, hey, just wanted to do it to bless you, girl. Jesus loves you so much. You be encouraged. That's enough. Why'd you do... Well, you should... I can tell you so many stories. Swiping up, it freaks people out. They're under pressure and you just swipe that thing and you're smiling all big. You can't even get mad at you. Why did you do that? You don't even know me. I had nobody ever punch me paying their bill. But I had a lot of people cry. I was just at Walmart and the lady was telling, I got talking to her. She told me about her kids and her son. And she said, I've been doing good. She's telling me her whole life story. Now I have a ministry account, Neck Ministries. You guys said, we'll take an offering and Power Dan. Let me tell you some of the stuff I get to do with that little ministry account. I said, really? I said, man, that's awesome. And we're just chatting and I'm ready to pay for my stuff. She's paying for hers. And then she's kind of standing there while I pay for mine, still talking. And she's telling me about her son. She's telling me about these medical bills. And she said, he don't know it, but I've been paying it off. And I'm so encouraged because he's got his life in a good place. And I don't want him worried about the bills. So I've been doing my best. It's been hard, but I've been chipping away at his medical bill. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to pay it off. The hospital's working with me. They let me pay a little bit here, a little bit there. I said, how much? What do you owe on it? Just if I can be like nosy, like for a reason. I got a reason for asking. But what? She said, it's like, yeah, it's $2,000. She said, actually, it's about right around 18 or something, she said. I said, really? I said, so that's what you owe on it, and you're only paying a little bit? That's going to be, yeah, but I'm chipping away. I don't really notice it. I said, do you have a pen and paper in your pocketbook? She said, yeah. I said, get it out. I said, write your address on there for me. She said, what? I said, I'm going to mail that to your house. She said, what? I said, I'm going to mail that to your house. I said, Jesus wants to pay that for you and bless you. God bless you for your willingness to be, you know, frugal and pay it. But God's going to relieve you from that. You can take that extra money and put it on whatever. She just said, you're being serious. I said, oh, I'm very serious. That's coming in the mail. If you'll write your address down. So people ain't used to that stuff. People are like, why would you do that? Well, why wouldn't you if you could? If you recognize it's a person and they're in need, or you recognize a single mama that's making her best and doing her best. That lady, she's recovered a heroin addict. Used to sell her body to stay high. Raised her three kids. She's making it. She's doing all right. Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to help her out. Pay her bill. Would you help me, Dan? You in with me? Oh, we'll do it. Yeah? It's called loving people. Watch this. Tomorrow's Sunday, traditionally a day for church. You guys busted that all up when you started meeting on Saturday, so you don't. But no, tomorrow. They meet on Saturday, not Sunday, but traditionally Sunday morning. So tomorrow, will there be several million people in churches all over the country? Yeah? Now watch. Watch. You can fill every seat in every sanctuary and allow pastors to say, praise the Lord. You can fill every seat in every sanctuary tomorrow. And it doesn't mean the world's going to change a bit. But watch. If just half of those people become love, somebody's going to have to stand up and notice. Because if you become love, it's going to bring some change. You can go to church the rest of your life and it doesn't mean any change is going to come. You walk in love, change is imperative. Are you with me? That's how you know this thing is right. Because you can attend church the rest of your life and never have an impact and just have a mentality to get by. But you can come to be sharpened, edified, trained, empowered, and look more like Him when you go. Look, we are ambassadors for Christ. You are now entering the... You say, I always wanted to go on missions. Well, go ahead out the door. You say, well, I never went on a mission trip. You have a job. Do you go to work? Mission field. Yeah. Do you ever walk through the mall? Mission field. I tell stories about walking. You ever see my buddy Todd? My buddy Todd, he gets criticized by people that have no understanding. You walk with Todd. Who knows my buddy Todd? Todd on the internet stuff. He is such a trip. He is as pure and surrendered as any person I know. I get alone with him, he just cries. You go to a gas station. The last time I was with Todd, he had to get gas. And there's a guy driving a big delivery truck. And he runs over and says, hey man, how you doing? He's got the big, long, crazy dreads. And he looks scary, kind of, until you look in his eyes and his face. And ain't nothing to fear. He's like, hey man. And he's running over there. His dreads are swinging. The guy's like, hey man. He says, man, what's going on? You got some? And he's just all on this guy's health and body. And the guy's like, man, I'm a veteran. And yeah, I got some, man. He said, listen, we're going to pray. Jesus is going to bring change. He's praying. This guy's crying. He's hugging him. I hear him say, you know what, man? I think what you just did for me is the kindest thing anybody ever did for me in my whole life. Thank you for coming over here and loving me and giving me this truth. This is one stop at the gas station. And he's relentless. Like, Todd, you go through an airport with Todd? I'm not kidding you. You will not be able to remember the people you saw cry. No way. Just walking through an airport and back. There's no way you'll recall to mind the people that cried. Now, I'm not being mean and condemning. You can live 15 years as a Christian and never even touch anybody on purpose in public. But you served as an elder and you went to services and you studied and did devotions and led home group. And you let that be Christianity instead of love. So I'm not saying you're evil and I'm not saying you'll be judged. But where's the fruit that remains? I'm telling you, there's something about walking in love. You walk Todd, he'll stop. Fast food. He'll just pull in. He doesn't do that much anymore. He's got himself eating all this different stuff. But he used to just be like 1 o'clock in the morning. Dude, can you stop and get a burger? I'd be like, a burger? It's 1 o'clock. I'm hungry, man. We didn't eat before we were preaching. I said, well, you could probably just not eat till tomorrow. He's like, dude, I'm hungry. This is a true story. So we pulled into Wendy's. They were open. And it was like 1 o'clock. He's going to get a burger. And I'm like, ah. So we pull in. Lady says, good evening. Welcome to Wendy's. Can I take your order? And Todd's sitting on my truck and he got his head against the seat. He says, oh, she's going to get it. I said, you already got a word for her? He said, guaranteed. Pinched nerve down the left side. It's stinging her hand right now. It's going to be. I said, I love you so much. That's fun. So you can persecute him all you want, but I'll tell you what. I ain't never seen anybody live as off the hook as that man. So we drive up to the drive-in. She's got this long, and I'm not saying anything wrong about it. She's just got this long purple stuff coming down in her hair. She's got hair, regular brown, purple. She's like cool looking. She's got all this stuff. She's covered with tattoos. She's got necklace stuff on. She's just got all this stuff. She just sticks her head out the window and says, well, hi, how are you all doing? We said, we're fine. how are you doing? She said, I'm fine. Todd sticks his head right in front of me and comes right up out the window. I'm holding his dreads. I'm holding the baby. He says, oh, except that pinched nerve right now in your left side coming down into your fingers. They're really stinging, girl. She said, oh, my God, you're psychic. That's what she did. She said, oh, you're psychic. He said, well, kind of, but not really. I'll explain in a minute. Give me your hand. It gets way better. She takes his hand and she goes, what are you doing to me? He says, his name is Jesus, honey. He loves you. He showed me that about your nerve. That's why the pain's leaving right now. He loves you. He lives in me. He wants to live in you. Do you know him? No. You can. Do you want to know him? It's just like, it was so powerful. He's just relentless. We get on an elevator. Elevator door closes. He says, hey, guys. Guys, I mean, they're from the hood. They got their pants down. They got their hats. They just got that city look. They're like gangster look. Todd could care less about it. He loves people. He's like, hey, guys, what's up, man? They're like, hey, man. They're just holding it down. They're cool, you know. And Todd's there, and he says, man, dude, you got so much artistic talent in your life. Do you know that? Like, no, you're gifted by God. Do you know you're gifted by God? And they're like, they're looking. He says, you know what I see? Like people that paint on trains and walls and like graffiti, like the best of the best. He said, I see that on you. And he said, the other guy goes, dude, you're freaking me out, man. That's what he does. Like, he's the best there ever was. Like, he's the best. He says, well, I see that over your life. He says, what do you mean you see that over my life? God, he's showing me, in fact, boom, bam, pow, boom. Can I pray with you? Yeah. It's just off the hook, man. Just so fun. We get in an elevator at 2 in the morning, a hotel. The bar just had to close because it's 2. You can't serve. So a lady comes in. She's a little tipsy. She's like, yeah. And two guys are with her. They're happy. They're both taking her to the room. She's going. They're happy. They get in the elevator with us. The door closes. And I'm going, oh, dear Jesus, this is going to be amazing. Because you can see what's happening. These two guys are zeroed on this girl, and they're both, she's hanging on both of them. And they're talking about going to the room. And they can't get there quick enough. Todd's aware of it. He loves people. So he's standing there. He just shocked me. Elevator starts moving. He says, hey, guys. I know I don't know you, but maybe now's the best time to just come out with it and spill my guts, man. I've been holding this for so long. I think I just need to come out with it right now, if you don't mind. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you don't mind. And they're like, well, no. And the girl's, she's tipsy. She goes, what? It's okay. And she's like stroking his shoulder. You can tell us. He said, and I'm standing right beside him. He says, okay, I guess there ain't no better time than now. I'm just going to, yeah. I'm going. And they're like, what, man? She's like, get it out. Okay. I'm in love with a man. And I went, because we're going to the room. He said, I'm in love with a man. And they were like, whatever, man. We don't care. And the girl's like, hey, I'm cool with that. If you're cool with that, I'm fine. And I'm just standing there like I'm the man. And he said, yeah, and I just need to be straight with you and tell you who it is. And I'm smiling even bigger. And they think he's going to go, he's my guy. He says, his name is Jesus. And they went, oh. And the guys were visually provoked, like, oh. And she just gets quiet and goes, oh. The door opens. It's not our floor. They're getting out, so we got out. But it's not our floor. Why'd we get out? because he discerned when she got quiet. And he said, honey, don't you run, because you've been running from God. You grew up Christian. You've turned on him. And your life is way out of bounds and you're convicted by it all the time. It's time to stop running. She just turned. She's horrified. Fear of the Lord's coming on her. He said, what'd you do 2 years ago? Two and a half years ago. He's listening. He's looking. 2.5 years ago, you were in an accident. You never been right in your neck and shoulder. Guys are saying, come on, let's get away. Let's go to the room. She's like, are you kidding me? Do you hear this man? He knows this is God. Get away from me. I'm not going to any room. And I'm going, ah. And the guys are like. He ministered to her, prayed for her. Everything changed. They hugged, cried. She gave her life back to Jesus and repented and went to her own room. We were leaving in the morning for an early service, and one of the guys is over in the corner with a computer on their little cubicle in the computer. I said, that's one of them guys from the elevator. He said, oh, he ran right over. He said, hey, man, sorry about last night, kind of, not really. I know I ruined your plans. Yeah, whatever, man. No, really, listen. He talked about the girl, the state she was in, them taking advantage. They're not on the earth to take advantage of that. They're on the earth to minister life and light and help people, not use people. He has pierced him with conviction. Tapped him on the shoulder and said, bless you, man. Have an amazing day. And just kept on rolling. It's nonstop. It's nonstop. Wonder if we would catch that vision and just touch somebody here and there along the way, times this room, times the body of Christ, versus worry, fear, complaining, need ministry, pray for me, something's blocking, don't feel real good, can't pray, help, please pray. I think sometimes we get so tricked into being self-conscious in our lives that we miss the real goal of why He's inside of us. Because the whole time Todd's living this way, the whole time I'm living this way, we both have things that would be great if it would change. But none of those things decide truth. And truth is what makes you free. So I think we're going to camp here.
Yay.
You all good? I'm late. I'm way late. I'm late. I got up straight out of the gate at 2. Yeah, oh, I'm warming up. Can you feel? I'm starting to feel it. I'm going to quit because we're coming back at 6. You guys need a little chill break or something. Yeah, I can preach straight through. I promise. You can tell how much I'm running out of. Huh? Oh, the gospel invigorates me. People say, you're the Energizer Bunny. I say, he don't hold nothing on what's in me. You can find an end to those energizers. They do wear out sooner or later. I haven't found the end of nothing yet. People say, do you sleep? I say, I go to bed by faith. They say, what? I say, you do everything by faith. I say, I go to bed. I'm usually thankful, wired last night. It's like good time, service, people testifying. I'm like, God, you're so good. I lay in the bed. Father, I just thank you. You just got to lay in the bed. You just lay in the bed. About 5 hours later to 5.5 max, boop, I'm up and I'm ready to roll. That's me every day for 24 years. It's fine. Y'all getting something out of this?
Yes.
We can live this way, guys. Just keep painting a picture. Just keep throwing out a perspective. Yeah? It's all through communion and relationship. You can't just become this thing on your own. You become this thing in Him. It's talking to Him. It's communion. It's running these truths by Him. It's waking up in the morning. Yeah. Brother, what's your name again? I'm sorry. Yeah, what's your name? Pedro. Pedro, he asked me a question last night. He said, man, can you just give me some real practical examples of what that looks like and how I work these things out in my life in relationship? It's a great question. I just started giving him little ways that I pray and talk. And, you know, you wake up in the morning, wake up righteous. You don't wake up and try to be right. You wake up right because of the blood. You got to start where He finished. Wake up accepted in the Beloved. Don't try to live acceptable before you know you're accepted. Or you might find yourself taking tests that He didn't sit on the desk and grading your own scores. Yeah? You wake up in the morning accepted. Father, thank you for another day. That sure beats, oh no, another day. God, man, I just didn't know 6 o'clock got here so soon. I know I got to get up and get ready for work. My body doesn't quite feel like getting up. I could sleep another hour with that rain hitting the window. But you know what? I'm going to get up. I know you're good. You're going to empower me because we got vision today. You got purpose. Man, today is a gift, God. I'm so glad I'm alive in you. That sure beats just clinging to the pillow, hitting the snooze button 4 times and suffering. See, this is stuff you have to put into practice. You got to walk it out. And as you get to know Him more and you walk into the bathroom and look in the mirror, instead of going, ugh, there's no hope for this, Father, I thank you. And you talk to yourself, man, I thank you for righteousness. I've talked to myself in the mirror so much, you probably wig out and think, you're out of your mind. And I'm thinking, I'm probably just out of yours. I've been out my bedroom, looked over at that full-length mirror and went, whoa. I walk right up to it and say, are you kidding me? Sir, that's amazing. I see Jesus in your life. Like when I look in your eyes, I can tell you're crystal clear. You understand He loves you. There's righteousness burning in your understanding. You're carrying yourself. Well, not arrogance. It's a confidence that Christ is on the inside of you. Dude, that's amazing. You reveal Him just by the glory you're carrying in your countenance. I don't even know why you're standing here, man. The world needs what I see in you. Have a great day. Head right out the room. I've done it more than you know. I'd be brushing my teeth. It sure beats hug, and what am I going to do today? And man, I got 4 appointments before lunch. Oh God, if you don't help me, I'll never get through. And then you call that prayer. You say, oh no, I got to work with Billy. Oh God, what did I ever do to deserve this? I've been trying to walk upright. Did I do something wrong? Instead of, wow, God, what an honor to work with Billy. Man, that guy's going through so much. He hasn't stewarded his heart. He has no clue who he is. He's not a frustration to me. I have mercy for Billy, God, like you do. And love covers a multitude of sin. I know people say he's this and that and the other. He is destined to be loved by you, God, and find out who he is. And I'm honored to work with him. And in any way you can reveal your goodness to him through me, what a joy. But let me work with Billy.
That's good.
That's a little different than, man, I can't believe I got to work with that guy.
That's right.
Right? You know how many people have asked me over the years when I pastored, especially when I pastored church, people that came to our church, even though I preach this way, they say, can you just pray for me? I'm really struggling on my job. And my boss, he is so unfair. I don't know. I just think it's time for change. And I'm just so tired of the F-bombs. And if I hear one more 4-letter F-bomb, I'm just going to fall apart. I just feel so run down by the end of the day. Can you just believe in me that God's going to give me another job? Because I got, and I'm thinking, no, I'm not praying that. No, you got to get a grip on that. Or the next job you go to, you have the same issues. So I would smile and say, no, I'm not going to pray that with you. They're like, you're not? No. Actually, I'm going to pray that God balls you and change you where you're at. Until you get a revelation. And stop feeling sorry for yourself. And understand Christ in you is the hope of glory. Because if you're running from what you don't like, your life will never change. And you'll always be on the run. And you'll never live effective in the Lord. You'll never have fruit that remains. And you'll do church and never be her.
Right.
So nope, I'm not going to pray for a new job. I pray you get a revelation right where you're at. And they're like, really? Yeah. Come on, I pastored, man. A lot of complaints out there. There's a lot of complaints out there in the house of God. Bible says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Paul says, I write these things as admonishment so you don't follow the Israelites' footsteps. And do not complain like they complained and were destroyed by the one who destroys, devoured by the one who devours. So he's saying it's absolutely, totally unpermissible, unacceptable, and not ever Christian to complain, because it's a giveaway that it's all about you while you're singing it's all about him. How's that for straight truth? Come on. Complaining opens a door to let the enemy know it's really all about you. So he seeks whom he may devour. When he hears complaining, he says, easy target. So more things happen, you complain even more, and after a course of events, you cry out and say, God, why are you letting all these things happen to me? And he ain't letting nothing happen. You're positioned for it. So if you can get understanding, you can stop destruction. You can give him no place and not be unaware of his devices. He only works with what you give him, the enemy. He's not going to come in here and just run me over. I have a way greater covenant than that. You say, that scares me talking like that. Now, Peter ran me over a long time ago if that wasn't true. I'm not being arrogant and I'm not picking a fight. I'm not talking high-minded. We have a way greater covenant than that. Because you love not your own life unto death, you overcome. You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. And he gave you authority, right? Over all the power of the enemy. Gave you authority over all the power of the enemy. The things you fear, you have no authority over. You can just quote scripture at it. But you don't have authority if you fear it. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm just throwing things out there. I got to stop. I'm going to quit. I'm sorry. My time's running out, man. I only got one crack at you guys, and I sat on 95 for hours. I'm going to make it worth it. I'm scarred by 95, man. That's my third trip. I told him, I said, Northeast is not getting Dan Moeller in person anymore because I'm not driving that drive anymore. I know I gave up my life and all that, but in that part, I picked that little piece back up. I said, they're just going to have to watch YouTube. If you live above New York, YouTube it. Or drive to wherever I am, but it won't be in the Northeast. No, actually, was it Mona? Mona helped me with directions to go another way, and another brother helped me to go away down through Wilkes-Barre and Scranton, and so I got some options. So maybe I'll show my face here someday again in the area, but it won't be on 95. I couldn't even find Jesus on 95. I was like, Jesus! Jesus! He called me. He said, are you traveling alone? I said, I am now. I said, Holy Spirit left an hour ago. He said, I ain't sitting here anymore. I'll just see you up there. I'm going to head Bob's way. I said, he just left. And I'm all alone. Jesus! Phew. But man, the tables are turned. Everybody's always asking for prayer. I figured people were going to come up to the side of my car. Do you need prayer, sir? Do you need ministry? Yeah. No, I don't think it'll matter. Oh, I had so much fun laughing with Bob. He asked me if I was alone. I am now. Who knows? Holy Spirit will never leave you. So don't you fall apart. You always look to him. Get help from him. Get wisdom from him. You're going to be in uncomfortable situations. That's why you have a comforter. Don't forget that. If you don't have intimacy with God, you might forget that. If you're not pursuing a relationship, you might not think that way. You might resort to principle instead of relationship. Bible principles aren't going to make it through for you. It's relationship. Knowing him is a big deal. So would you get to know him more? Would you pursue having more relationship with him, everybody? Just in the middle of your day, teaching your heart to pursue him. You're driving the car. Thanks for fathering me. Thanks for giving me wisdom today. I appreciate you teaching me your heart and letting your heart be realized through my life by men. God, when they see my life, let them see the glory of who you are without me trying hard. Thanks for the liberty you've brought me. Wouldn't that be a great way to pray? Wouldn't it be amazing to wake up and think like that? Wouldn't it be amazing to be married and have children and wake up in the morning and say, wow, God, what a gift, life. And I thank you today. No one owes me a thing. My spouse, my children, I woke up to shine. I woke up to love. Thank you that I'm fulfilled in you. I don't find my identity through them. I am blessed to be their parent and be their spouse. I find my identity through you. And thank you, God. We're going to have a great day.
Wouldn't that be awesome to start your day thinking like that? And you come down into the kitchen and you're just a love bomb. You just, hey, good morning.
Rather than, man, you did the toast for an extra long time today. What, did you forget it was in there? I guess I'll eat it. No, never mind. I'll eat it. I don't have much time. Thanks, though. Thanks. Hello? Am I that far off? That's why you're laughing so hard. Because that's what we've done. And we don't even think about it. We get so familiar with each other. You should hear how sarcastic we talk to each other and demanding and don't even know it. I stay in homes. They haven't done it. Don't worry, Bob. I'm not talking about you. I just stayed in a home just a couple weeks ago. Oh, my goodness. You should have heard the tone towards one another in their voices. They're like, well, no, don't do that. And it was always belittling. Nonstop. The pastors. I finally had to say, guys, hey, I'm going to talk about this because you have no idea. You don't even see it. You don't even know what you're doing. What? You dishonor one another constantly. Oh, well, no. It's belittling and it's dishonoring. And I hear it escalate as the conversation goes on. And you're borderline arguing over almost every topic. And then they got quiet and admitted that they do it all the time. And that they get rubbed wrong by each other. Well, I just let her bother me sometimes, you know. Sometimes people just get on your nerves. No, you get new nerves. You get new nerves. Don't say people get on your nerves. You get new nerves. Are you telling me people don't get under your skin, brother? Got new skin. Do you think somebody gets under God's skin? Honestly, do you really think God's sitting there going, ah, she just makes me so mad? Do you think he's watching your life, man, and he looks over at Jesus and goes, really? And Jesus, see, you see how silly it is when I put it into them? When I take what we do and put it, translate it to them, sounds hilariously ridiculous. Well, why isn't it ridiculous if it's in us, if we're made for his image? And as he is, so are we in this world. Why is it so far-fetched? Look, when you squeeze an orange, what do you get? See, you didn't just say juice. You said orange juice. Why? Because it's an orange. Duh. If it was apple juice, that would be weird. You'd call a friend and they'd say, what were you drinking? Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Man, that should be weird. Squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ. If you squeeze an orange, you get orange. You squeeze a Christian, you ought to get Christ. Wonder if Satan's learned to squeeze you to find out what you understand or don't understand. Wonder if he's not impressed with your church attendance, your loud worship, and both hands raised. Wonder if he's only impressed that when he squeezes you, Jesus comes out or doesn't. Come on. Oh, that's just convicting good. I got to stop. Hey, we prayed for the sick last night, and we did it long. Well, I promise you we're going to do it super short today, but it won't be ineffective. It'll just be fun, so participate. Who in here would want us to just pray for you, even if it's just for a short moment, from heart, from sincerity, and believe God for you? Who would want prayer for healing in this room? Lift your hand. Get to a person with their hand raised. You don't even have to ask them anything. Just somebody get to a person, grab their hand and say, oh, hey, we're going to pray in a second. We're going to do it together. Just grab their hand. Just grab their hand. Go find their hand. Leave it up till somebody grabs your hand. If they don't know you, just tell them your name and you're going to stand with them and you're going to believe. You ready? You guys ready? If you're being prayed for, I just want you to believe he loves you and thank him for what he does, okay? I don't want you to try to receive and I don't want you to turn faith into a point in time. Let's just believe God loves us and he does good things and he brings healing through his son. Okay, so when you guys pray, you took their hands, I just want you to pray something simple like this. Even talk to nobody. We didn't even find out probably. Some of us don't even know what we're praying for. So just, I want you to say something simple like this. Be healed in Jesus' name. Completely made whole. No more sickness, no more pain. Whatever comes in your heart like that, directive, short and sweet, be sincere. Pray it right now over them. Be healed in Jesus' name. Go ahead. Yep. No more sickness. Absolutely. No more pain. Father, thank you for making them new. Completely whole. Because you love us. In Jesus' name, be healed. Father, thank you for what you're doing all through the room. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so good. In Jesus' name. Now, if you were prayed for, just thank God for loving you right now. Just say, God, I just appreciate you love me. I thank you for what you're doing in my life, in my body. I trust you with my whole being. Your love will never fail. Yeah? You just camp there. In Jesus' name. Tonight, maybe, where's my little MC buddy? Tonight, maybe you can just ask him and talk after a couple hours and just see what's going on or whatever, if you feel like it. So, Father, thank you for what you're doing in us. Thank you for the word. Thank you for touching, loving. We just love you, Jesus, in return and say thank you for the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We love you guys. Bless you. Thanks for coming.